the attendance roster open. So when you are ready to determine who is present, I will request that you ask me to call the roster, and then we will determine who is on the call, and then I can confirm for you if you have a quorum. So at this point, Lisa Tangway, would you please activate the tape recorder and let us know when the tape recorder is on?
This is Lisa Tangway. I just turned it on.
Okay, Bob, you can go ahead with the roll call.
Okay, so Madam Chair, at this point, hold on one moment. Lisa, I know that tape recorder takes about 30 seconds to actually be recording. So is it live and recording, or is it still warming up?
This is Lisa Tangway. It's live and recording.
Okay. Madam Chair, if you want to call the meeting to order and welcome everyone, and then we can start the agenda.
Okay. This is Hannah Tyler. Welcome, everyone, for coming. And now we will have a roll call. Brian will announce your name. If you could, I believe you just announce or wave your hand.
Sorry to interrupt. This is Michael.
Yes.
Do you want this Zoom call recorded?
This is Brian. We are required to have an audio recording of all public meetings posted on the website. So Lisa Tangway is recording the meeting on an audio recorder, but certainly if you want to record it as a backup, that is fine.
All right.
This is Pat Clark speaking. Since this is through our computer system here, I'm not sure that it would be appropriate for us to record your meeting on a different agency's computer. Not something that we were asked to do previously. So if your requirement is to only have an audio recording, maybe we should go with that.
This is Brian. That is perfectly fine. Again, we are recording the meeting per the governor's executive order. It is not necessary to also record it on Zoom. So if you want to stop the Zoom recording, that is perfectly fine.
I have not started any Zoom recording.
This is Michael speaking. I did start it. I will stop it as soon as the computer allows me to.
Michael, if your agency is fine with recording it, that's fine. I just thought because it was through our system that we could only record it. But if you can record it and you want to keep it, that's fine.
We'll see what it allows me to do. This is Michael. I have the spinning wheel at the moment.
Okay,
sorry for the interruption. Please continue with your roll call.
Okay, thank you. So this is Brian. What I will do, I'll remain on camera while I do this. What I will do is request that as I call your name, if you are present, please say here or yes so that the record will record it. Okay? Elise Arsenault.
Hi, I'm here.
Tara Brown Ogilvy.
Good morning, I'm here.
Barbara Cloonan. Barbara Cloonan.
I'm here. Can't see me, but I'm here.
Okay. Lisa Flaherty Vaughn.
Yes, I'm here.
Heidi Benair.
Yes, this is Heidi. I'm here.
Mary Johns.
I'm here.
Crystal Kelly.
I'm here.
Eric Krangel.
Yes, I'm here.
Christopher Lassen.
Here.
Tracy Lucelli. Sandra Miles. Sandra Miles. Kathy Morgan. Emily Morganti. Karen Olson.
I'm here.
Jesse Stanley.
Yes, this is Jesse. I'm here.
Al Sylvester. Al Sylvester. Anna Tyler.
I'm right here.
Okay. I will now just swing back. There are some other individuals that are here that are not voting members, but they're present, and I'm going to call some names of people I believe are here. Wayne Seidel.
Hi, good morning. Here.
Muriel Aparo.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here.
Alvin Cheech.
Yes, Alvin is here.
Alan Gunsberg.
I'm here, Brian.
Andrew Norton. Lisa Tangway.
I'm here.
Margie Santos.
Good morning, I'm here.
Sue Pedersen.
Yes, I'm here.
Just is there anyone else participating whose name I have not called?
Brian, this is Sue Shatney.
It's Sue Shatney.
And I'm here.
Is there anybody else?
There's someone that needs to be spotless. But yes, there's someone else here. Yes,
hold on 1 second. We are having a little bit of some technical difficulties, and our spotlighter no longer has a connection, and we're working on that. And I am looking for the person who wanted to. If the interpreter could tell me who it was.
Yes, it's a person with Reverend William Eric Kringle.
Thank you.
Yes, hello. Good morning. My name is Martin. Martin Greenberg. And I am a new person joining just for today's meeting. But thank you very much.
Okay. Brian, I just want to verify that there are individuals whose name I called and I did not hear if they were present. And since they are voting members, I'm going to call their name one more time. So scroll down the list. Sandy Miles. Are you present? Kathy Morgan, are you present? Emily Morgante, are you present?
Ryan, I just wanted you to know that three people just entered the Zoom meeting. I did not see who they are, but there were three individuals who just entered. So you may ask them who they were, and then after that, if you could have Pam explain the rules for being identified for speaking.
Very, very well. I have called out names, and if you have not heard your name and acknowledged your presence, would you please acknowledge your presence now?
Ryan, Andrew Norton just joined.
Thank you, Andrew.
This is Al. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Sylvester.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Brian?
Yes.
This is Kathy Morgan.
Is there anyone else who has joined?
This is Tara speaking. I see that Sandra Miles looks like she may have just joined us. I see Miles S. as a pop-up on Zoom.
Okay. Sandra, are you there? You may need to...
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Madam Chair, you have a quorum. You may resume the meeting.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm glad we got that out of the way. Now that after the roll call, we can review our minutes from October 27, 2020, and let's give that a couple of minutes to review the minutes. All right?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Pam Crawford, Sign Language Interpreter for ADS. I'm here monitoring this meeting today to make sure communication access is for all participants. So I'd like to just mention again, please, when one wants to speak, please raise your hand closer to your camera so that it is identified. Please speak slowly and clearly to give the interpreters a chance to connect with whomever is speaking. Also, our spotlighter needs to toggle back and forth to whomever is speaking or signing. Also, as we all know, technology can be tricky and freeze at times. So again, this will require pausing to make sure that the information is accessible and clear to all participants. I don't believe I've missed anything. One last point. Again, I can't stress this enough that we need to take comments one person at a time. Speaking over each other will cause some confusion, especially for the deafblind participants on this call. We need to make sure the information is clear and accessible at all times. Thank you.
Brian, this is Pat Clark. If we could also have those hearing individuals make their screen, their video off, so it's easier for the spotlighter to identify those individuals who do want to speak, that would be beneficial. Thank you.
And Pat, this is Maria. We should do an interpreter switch now.
All right, this is Anna Tyler, the chair. As I've stated, we can review now October 27 minutes. Let's give it a couple of minutes.
No, I'm all set. He doesn't need it. Forget it. Thank you. Bye.
This is Brian. Madam Chair, if you want to call for a motion and a second, then you could entertain discussion and corrections.
All right. We have a motion to approve the minutes of October 27th.
This is Brian. Correction, Madam Chair. You need to ask for a motion and ask for a second, and then there can be discussion.
May we have a motion for the minutes of October 27th?
This is Al. Move adoption of the minutes.
Okay. Anyone?
This is Sandy. I second.
Great. Now we may have a discussion.
This is Brian. There's just one small correction, which we will make. We refer to Karen Olson toward the bottom of the minutes as Mr. Olson by mistake. Very sorry. We will change that to Ms. Olson.
Okay. We will make that correction. And this is Hannah Tyler again. We may now go and continue with new business, Brian.
Madam Chair, it's Brian. Can you please first just take a vote on the minutes?
Okay. Hannah Tyler, I apologize. Let's take a vote. Anyone that accepts?
Kathy Morgan, aye.
Barbara Clunan, aye.
Karen Olson, aye.
Jesse Stanley, aye.
Elise Arsenault, aye.
Lisa Flaherty Vaughn, aye.
Al Sylvester in favor.
Martin Greenberg, aye.
I'm at Tyler here, Chair. I have a question, Brian. For the sake of timing, because we don't see each other, can I say anyone oppose? It may be understood that if everyone accepts, any opposition, if they may say it now.
This is Brian. Here,
have a vote?
I think that, Madam Chair, can you hear me? This is Brian.
Yes, I can.
I think that is perfectly acceptable. You have right now 9 voting members. You could say for any votes that come up, if you are opposed, if you are voting no, please state that and give a few to see if anybody says I am voting no. And then you can ask if anybody is abstaining from voting, please say that. And you can give a few moments for people to, you know, come on and say, I am abstaining. And then clearly those voting members who did not come on to say no or did not come on to say abstain will have been concluded to have voted yes. So I believe that is certainly a clear indication of who has cast their vote in what direction.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. I think that sounds fair. So anyone opposed, please state it now.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Al Sylvester. For the sake of efficiency and to save time and avoid confusion, since we don't have that many votes, I suggest that votes be conducted by roll call. That way, each person has an opportunity to say whether they are in favor, opposed, or abstaining. So you take care of it all in one fell swoop.
All right. I am flexible, so if timing is not a problem, then we can do the roll call, which we have. So at this point, I believe everyone has voted. Are there any opposed? Anyone abstain? Okay, then we may be able to move on. Okay, so the next step would be an update on Deafblind Technology Program.
Okay, this is Muriel Apero. Let me just turn my video on here. Okay, so the report I have is for July 2020 through September 30th, 2020. It was the first quarter for the Deafblind grant. And if you hold on just a second, I'm sorry, I'll pull this up. I should have had it up. Okay. For the fourth year, we've been giving $123,000 to spend. And in our first quarter, what happened is because of COVID, we had to stop services. It was no longer safe for anyone to go in anyone's home. And we did provide for the eligibility of consumers. That's why there's nothing that was allocated to that expense for that quarter. $7,046.71 was spent for equipment and upgrades. We were able to provide a couple of upgrades to the programs for individuals that had been past consumers that did requalify for the program or were still within their year of eligibility. So those upgrades were able to be done. And the other amount was for the PPE equipment for when we did start back in session providing services that our evaluators had access to gloves, mask, sanitation equipment, so they could sanitize everything, sprays, wipes, all the general PPE. So we have all that in place. We also did start doing some virtual training. That posed as a little bit of a challenge just because with the returning consumers, it was no problem because they've worked with technology. They've embraced the virtual world. Some of the new consumers didn't have access to either an iPad or a laptop. So that was a little more challenging. We were able to help a couple of consumers with that. And at this point, we have ordered the equipment. It is en route to be able to be distributed to the individual. Outreach, of course, we didn't do anything for outreach. Things have been very limited there. And then installation and training, again, there are very few amounts because of lack of being able to go into individuals' homes. Administrative costs is $2,000 because even though we are not necessarily out in the field, some of our evaluators are doing the virtual training, so that goes under administrative cost. Total for the first quarter was $13,158. We continue to handle both the past and present, and I'm very happy to say that presently I have three, possibly four new individuals to our program, which is awesome because we haven't been able to have new individuals joining our program. And BESB has been integral part of that. They've been providing our service information to some of their new clients. So it's really good. And right now I have five consumers with applications open, and we have two of those individuals receiving services. So hopefully we can begin providing some services again, because I know in quarter two, which I'll report at the next meeting, the numbers for COVID went up, so we had to even scale back again. So at this present time, we're starting to use virtual services again. And that's it. Any questions?
This is Hannah Tyler, Chair. Thank you, Muriel. Glad to hear we have some new members, new people that are interested.
Yes, very happy about that.
That's great. And now I would like to go into new business. Brian, I believe that's in your category.
This is Brian speaking. Madam Chair, I'm going to request an amendment to the agenda if the membership votes accordingly to affirm the change. I am requesting that we add an agenda item under new business to vote on two new voting members to join the Deafblind Advisory Committee. We have on the phone, or through Zoom, Wayne Seidel. Wayne is from the Department of Developmental Services, and he is the designated replacement for Robert Smith, who retired. And Robert was a voting member. We also have present Police Arsenault from Oak Hill, and she is the designated replacement for Still Fowler, who was also a voting member. So my request is that the agenda be amended to allow this first piece of new business to vote Mr. Seidel and Ms. Arsenault as voting members of the Deafblind Advisory Committee, replacing respectively Robert Smith and Still Fowler. And if that agenda item is accepted and the motion passes, then they can become voting members, I believe, from this point forward for the remainder of the meeting. Somewhat important in my view, because I believe there may be some items that will require a vote as the meeting progresses.
Brian? Madam Chairwoman?
Yes?
This is Andrew Norton. I just wanted to interrupt to say that if you take a vote to add an agenda item, you should make clear after the vote that two-thirds of the committee voted yes, because you do need two-thirds to add an agenda item. I imagine there's no controversy, and so you'll get it, but you should say out loud in some way, unless you take a roll call vote, that two-thirds voted yes. Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
Brian, this is Kathy Morgan. I question the need for a vote of new individual members. Oak Hill, CIB, and DDS had always been designated as members of the committee. I wonder whether you really need to vote on the new members who are representing the same agency.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Brian responding. I appreciate that observation. My recollection is that in the past, we have always voted in the new person so that the record would clearly serve as proof that they do hold voting status. And it would be my recommendation that we certainly continue that minutes affirmation so that there would never be any question as to whether they truly have a vote. I honestly see no harm in doing that other than the 2 to 3 minutes it may take.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Al Sylvester. Out of an abundance of caution, I will move that we add the two members and also suggest that this is another argument in favor of drawing up a set of bylaws.
So this is Brian. So, Madam Chair, I've requested that we have a motion, a second, and a vote to amend the agenda to allow for voting of two new members on the committee. So we would need to start with a motion to that effect to amend the agenda to allow for this vote, and then a second, and then if you wish, I could take a roll call vote of the voting members, or you could utilize the approach you initially indicated you preferred, which is asking if there's anyone that says no and anyone that abstains. And by the fact that we have 9 voting members, we could quickly establish if we had enough. But it has to start with a motion and a second to allow for the agenda to be amended.
Madam Chair?
Okay, this is Tyler. May we have a motion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
And
I move it. Sorry. This is Al Sylvester.
Yes.
Move that we amend the agenda to hold a vote on 2 new members.
Does Sandy Miles have seconded?
Very good. Now, may we have a roll call, Brian? You go by each name, and they can say if they accept, oppose, or abstain. And let's go through the roll.
Yes, Madam Chair. Tara Brown Ogilvie.
This is Tara speaking, in favor.
Barbara Cloonan.
Yes.
Lisa Flaherty Vaughn.
Yes.
Eric Krengel.
Eric saying yes.
In place of Tracy Lucelli, Karen Olson.
Yes, in favor.
Sandra Miles.
Yes, in favor.
Kathy Morgan.
Yes, in favor.
Jesse Stanley.
Jesse, yes, in favor.
Al Sylvester.
Al Sylvester, in favor.
Anna Tyler.
Yes, in favor.
Motion carried unanimously. So now, Madam Chair, if you could request a motion and a second to vote in Wayne Seidel and Elise Arsenault.
Okay. May we vote in Wayne Seidel and Elise Arsenault?
This is one of the interpreters. Would it be possible to do an interpreter switch? Thank you.
This is Brian. Let us know when you're ready.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a question. Do we want to vote on them separately, or do we want to take them together?
I would say together.
In that case, I move that we accept the membership of both the proposed members.
Candy Miles, I second it.
Okay, and all in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
So, Brian, do we go through the whole roll call again?
I would ask that we either do the roll call or that you ask, is anybody opposed? Did anybody abstain? Either of those two approaches will establish how many people voted yes. It's your preference.
Okay. I would say anyone opposed, please state it now. And anyone abstain, please state it now. So the motion moves forward, and we are moving forward to the next agenda. Welcome new members. All right.
Thank you all very, very much. I think that was an important thing to do, and I truly do appreciate it. At this point, if you bear with me a moment, I do have quite a few screens open on my computer, and I need to open up the report. It will only take me a moment. It's opening. Just bear with me. This is Brian. I previously did distribute to the membership the year-to-date, and in follow-up to the request that was made at the previous meeting, I did reach out to Oak Hill, and as a result, we will get an update under another agenda item that's forthcoming. Where Oak Hill is at in terms of serving clients. I also have asked Sue Pedersen from Communication Advocacy Network to give us an update on where services are at with their organization. But as we review the spreadsheet, the impact of COVID-19 is just incredibly obvious and apparent. Oak Hill has 32 clients, of which to date, which would have been the end of December, none of them have received a billed service. What that means is that any of these clients have had community inclusion services as of the end of December, we had not received a bill. So we are reflecting zero for billed services for all 32, which means that out of their allotment of $44,897 for the first half of the fiscal year, nothing had been spent. Next is Communication Advocacy Network. They have a contracted amount of $141,353, of which they have, through December, expended $26,497. There was also some FY20 expenditures I previously reported on that got paid at the beginning of 21. They have 23 clients they are able to serve, of which 15 have so far through December received paid services. And then we have several individual contracts, and of the individual contracts, United Cerebral Palsy, for their one client, has to date billed for $3,954 out of their contract, which is $9,999. Or vendor AJ, for their $9,987 contract, they have not billed anything so far. For client JS, or contractor JS, I'm sorry, out of their contract of $2,536 through the first half of the year, they have billed $1,227. And for contract JR, out of a contracted amount of $9,999, they've expended $5,530. There have been some other expenses as well, which I'll go into in a moment, but out of the 59 clients that are eligible to receive services through these contractors I just named, 18 have thus far received a paid service through the end of December. We've also paid for $6,347 in interpreter services, and we've paid for $4,248 in Braille instruction. So our unexpended amount through the end of December is $212,954 out of an allotment of $265,738. So that, in summary, is the expenditures to date through December 31st. Madam Chair, that concludes my report. Madam Chair, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm a Tyler. Next on the agenda, I have COVID-19 update.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Al Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
I have questions with regard to the report.
Sure, go ahead.
First question being, Oak Hill stands out as having not billed for the second quarter. That's a matter of concern given the number of clients they have, and I wondered if the representative could speak of what Oak Hill's plans are for some form of community inclusion now that we're deep into the pandemic. We're coming up on a year, and I've noticed over the course of the last year or so that we haven't had much going on with Oak Hill. So if I may, I'd like to ask about whether Oak Hill has plans for community inclusion within the context of the pandemic.
Madam Chair, that's an excellent question. This is Brian. Agenda item C under new business is where I had previously requested that Oak Hill and Communication Advocacy Network be prepared to address Mr. Sylvester's very legitimate question.
Madam Chair, in light of that, I'll hold my question until that agenda item. I'd like to move on to my second question, which is one I've had perennially since the pandemic began. I just want to be sure that the agency is in talks or in contact or is making the state budget authority aware that we want to preserve funding going forward, and that the budget authority understands, because of the unusual circumstance, the expenditures on the budget are necessarily very low, and I want to be sure that that doesn't have an impact when we return to a fully socially engaged world once again. Thank you.
This is Ryan, and I don't know if Andrew Norton has anything to contribute. I am very aware that our commissioner and our director of the Bureau of Organizational Support are observing the significant impact on the delivery of services across all of the bureaus and the challenges that each of the funding streams are having in making expenditures for any type of service that involves involvement outside of the home. So I would assure you that this is not something that is, first off, unique to this particular budget line item, but that it is also very apparent that the cause is COVID-19.
Madam Chair, this is Pam Crawford. I believe Mr. Lassen has a question whenever the time permits.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to request that an item be added to the agenda after the report of the service providers for a report from the client service plan review team of the Deafblind Advisory Committee. The committee had a number of issues that came before us very late in the interim between last meeting and this, and we were only able to meet this past Friday. So, but there is one decision item to put on the agenda after consideration of the reports from the service provider. So,
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is Al Sylvester. Excuse me. I move that we add the items that Mr. Lassen just mentioned so we can discuss them and vote on them.
Okay. May we have a motion?
I believe it's a second that we need right now since I just made the motion.
Barbara Clonin, second.
Okay. We can move to discussion. Does anyone have any questions or comments?
This is Brian. So, Madam Chair, you have a motion and a second to add that agenda item. I would recommend that you utilize the approach of anyone opposed, say so, and anyone abstaining, say so, and then you will know how many voted yes by utilizing that.
Okay. Anyone opposed, please state it now. Now.
anyone who wants to abstain from this decision, please state it now. Okay, so the motion will be included. And it's in now that it will be included.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will now resume with the report on COVID-19 updates.
Okay, go ahead, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If we can do an interpreter switch, it just is a good time. Thank you.
Let me know when you're ready.
Ready. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to start by emphasizing how incredibly important it is for everybody to stay current on the updates that are being provided through the governor. There are two important websites. All of you who are on this committee have been receiving updates that I am sending out when I received them from Kathleen Sullivan. And within those updates, there are links to websites where you can obtain current information. One of those websites is ct.gov/coronavirus. And most recently, there's also been a website added that goes into detail on the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine. That is ct.gov/COVID-vaccine. Please mark these, check these, or if you want to rely exclusively on the emails I am forwarding, I just want to caution that I may not always be available to forward every update I get, which is why, again, I am stressing to each of you and to your organizations to share with your membership these two web addresses where people can get the most current information. Connecticut is currently in phase 1B of its COVID-19 vaccination program. So right now, residents over the age of 75 can sign up to receive the vaccine. And if you go to the ct.gov COVID vaccine website, there are links so that you can sign up for the vaccine. In the near future, it will expand for residents between the ages of 65 and 74 and residents between the ages of 16 and 64 who have underlying health conditions. Residents and staff of congregate settings and frontline essential workers will also soon be eligible under phase 1B. These are, again, very important updates to stay current on. Our Bureau continues to have in-person services available under the guidelines that were previously issued out that were developed with the assistance of members of this committee. We have a series of questions that we will ask before we will conduct any in-person service to verify that it is safe for you as well as safe for us to have the service provided in person. Virtual services are still the preferred approach, but where an in-person service is the optimal, or in many cases the only option for the service to be provided, as long as the safety protocols that we previously issued are followed, the service can be provided. With the recognition that COVID-19 is still very present in our state, we are using the abundance of caution, as all of you should also be utilizing when interacting in person. But I do want to again stress that when an in-person service must be provided, that option is available. And that concludes my update under COVID-19.
This is Hannah Tyler, Chair. Does anyone have questions or comments before we move on to the next agenda? All right, very good. Ryan, next agenda, service provider recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Brian once again, and I am very pleased to acknowledge that we do have on the phone representation from Oak Hill, and I'm going to first ask Elise if she could bring us up to date on what the current situation is with the provision of services for the Oak Hill clients served under the Community Inclusion Grant, and also to give us your insights on what recommendations Oak Hill has for where services can go from here. So I will mute and shut off my camera so that attention can focus on Elise.
Good morning. This is Elise Arsenault from Oak Hill. I'm one of the assistant directors. unfortunately, as was shown in the budget report, we haven't been able to use any of the funding for the first half of the fiscal year. Full part, actually, because of COVID-19. Being an agency as large as we are and spread across the state, we've encountered different, pop-ups of the virus where we've had to enact our precautions. Our precautions began in mid to late March of 2020, and where we pulled back people from day programs and limited community outings to prevent the spread of the virus. We have obviously precautions in place in the group homes. Unfortunately, because since March of last year, we've had, we've seen, just as the state has seen, the increases and then lulls and then increases again. We're unfortunately in the middle of another increase currently. But after talking with the other administrators, we are hopeful with the rollout of the vaccine that we will be able to begin to get to some semblance of normalcy in the next one or two quarters. We started our vaccination rollout of all of our direct care staff. Those who wish to be vaccinated have been able to register through the CDC. And we started last Friday vaccinating the individuals who live in our intermediate care facility homes. We're doing vaccination clinics with Walgreens. They're coming out to our homes. Which was really nice. Those have gone well. We've had two since Friday. So going forward, we are just hoping that as as the positivity rate declines throughout the state, that we can ease some of the restrictions that we have put in place for the safety of the people receiving support from us. And so we've talked about, you know, what are the ways that we can start to get some more community integration, because through the past 10 or 11 months, community integration has really taken the form of, you know, trying to go places that are very low populated, go have a picnic in a park when the weather permitted. And like I said, unfortunately, because we're, you know, the individuals receiving the support through this organization are, laid out throughout the state, depending on where in the state each person lives and the positivity rate for that region and the state overall, that has determined what our precaution level has been. So it has been very challenging to be able to be very integrated, as I'm sure it has been for all of us. So going forward, we're hoping to get everybody vaccinated who wishes to be vaccinated. We're providing education and support to the individuals and to the support staff, because the more people we get vaccinated and the faster we get them vaccinated, the faster we can get people back into the community. So we've been meeting, we meet several times a week to talk about how we can move forward. And the vaccinations are how we're going to get there. So we hope to be able to participate in some of the spring and summer activities that individuals have historically participated in and utilized this funding. We're really waiting to see how the vaccine rolls out, and we're just monitoring the positivity rate overall, because, you know, we just want to maintain everybody's safety.